Shalom and welcome to Torah Bites. This is Alan Gilman with Torah Bites for the week of August the 10th, 2024, the 6th of Av, 5784. The following is a revised version of a message originally posted the week of August the 2nd, 2014, the 6th of Av, 5774. It is entitled, The Bible, Israel's Title Deed, and I'm reading from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 8. See, I've set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. When reading the Bible, it doesn't take too long to discover that its predominant context is the people of Israel in the land of Israel. That context doesn't simply function as a backdrop for the Bible's overall story, it's a crucial aspect of it. God's endeavor to eradicate evil and its effects upon his creation is based on the outworking of a plan. This plan begins with his calling Abraham to leave his homeland and settle in what was then known as the land of Canaan. Almost as soon as he arrived, God said to him in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, "To your offspring I will give this land." Not only is this promise unconditional, it's also eternal. Soon afterward, God added in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 13, verse 15, "For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever." Even though Abraham had many sons besides Isaac, the promise was passed on to Isaac alone. Of Isaac's two sons, only to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, was the promise of the land given. Later, under the covenant God gave to Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai, Israel's remaining in the land was contingent upon their faithfulness to that covenant. Eventually, due to their relentless pursuit of other gods, God sent prophets to warn them that unless they changed their ways, foreign domination and exile would result. Through the Assyrians and Babylonians, that's exactly what happened. But while the retention of the land was an express condition of the Sinai covenant, Israel's claim to the land was based, as I've already explained, on God's unconditional eternal promise to their forefathers. The tension between Israel's lack of worthiness and God's unconditional faithfulness through his promise is resolved through the new covenant as instituted by the Messiah. Much Christian understanding of the new covenant assumes that the issue of Israel's claim to the land becomes irrelevant. It is thought that the multinational scope of the community of faith precludes Israel's nationalistic aspirations. The inclusion of non-Jews as part of the family of God is taken to imply the superiority of a homogenized, generic, spiritual community. Yet knowing that some continuity with God's ancient plan, as outlined in the Hebrew Scriptures, must be retained, this quasi-national organization brands itself as New or True Israel. Detaching what is supposedly higher spiritual values from the lower natural ones, concern over the literal promised land, especially with its ancient attachments to the natural descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is viewed as an archaic throwback to a below-standard epoch. There are many problems with this approach to Israel and the land, most importantly, that nothing of this sort can be found in the Bible, the New Testament included. If such a redefinition was crucial to the understanding of God's explicit commitment to Israel through the forefathers, why is it not clearly expounded upon anywhere in Scripture? The Hebrew prophets fully expected that the natural descendants of the people whom they addressed, that is, unfaithful Israel, would one day be fully restored to the land and to God. Take what God says through Amos, for example, in chapter 19, verse 15. "I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them." Also look at Isaiah 54:7, Jeremiah 30 verse 3, and Ezekiel 37 verse 21. Nothing about the coming of the Messiah or the writings of his followers detracts from this expectation. To spiritualize the prophetic literature by twisting its explicit intent undermines the Bible, since so much of its overall message is based on God's faithfulness to the people of Israel. Torah Bites is located on the web at www.torahbites.org. Comments may be sent to info@torahbites.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Torah Bites. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman for Torah Bites. Lehitraot.